Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Danate Barha joining us today. Danate is the founder and lead strategist at the Asmara Agency, an award-winning full-service agency that helps female-founded companies craft compelling business, brand, and messaging strategies that position them for multiple six and seven figures. When she's not designing, nerding out over data, and strategizing, Danate is cuddling with her pup Lula, exploring the city of Buffalo with her husband, and wondering what the appropriate number of times to have pizza and wine on any given week is. The answer is seven, and I could not agree with that more. So Danate, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Yeah, so I am a brand strategist, and essentially what that means is that I help business owners, especially women-founded companies, really take their big vision, their ideas, all of the things that they have in their head to help and serve people, and turn that into a tangible business that, and actually brand that really connects with the right types of clients that they're looking for, puts their mission out there, helps them tell and share their story in a way that's compelling, and also helps them make a profit and an impact at the same time. So that is essentially what I do. Now, what led me here is a little bit of a journey. I was actually in school for biochemistry. So I was going to be a scientist. I wanted to go to med school, but I was always fascinated with business. I always kind of had this entrepreneurial spirit, and even as a kid, I would try and start businesses to get my parents to pay me for them. I'm like, hey, I'll organize a family album. And I'm like, I've started this brand new business. And my parents were like, no, but that's a great family task we'll be doing this weekend. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I say anything? So I've always kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit. And I started my first real business in sixth grade, selling bookmarks to the rest of my classmates. So I've always wanted to have my own business. I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know if it would be like owning my own clinic once I went to med school, but I always kind of had that desire. And so I went to school, got my degree in biochem, and started working in the field, and just was not passionate about it. And I also realized that in medical school, I worked with doctors at a hospital, and they were like, yeah, we don't really get to talk to people a lot. We fill out a bunch of paperwork. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Like, I really want to help people and be in the trenches with people. And so I kind of took a little break, and then a few of my friends and family members were like, well, why don't you just start doing this as a business? Because I've always done design work, created logos and websites just for fun on the side. And I was like, I didn't think I could do that as a business. I didn't realize that you could just kind of go on your own and do this. I thought I had to have like, you know, 30 years of experience or work for somebody else for decades before I could jump in and do that. And I took a chance and took a leap of faith and started my business in 2017. And so that's how we have ended up here.
I love it. So one of the things that you mentioned was just always being involved in design work, from creating logos and websites to everything in between. So as you were making those while you were either in school for biochem or having your career in biochem, were you doing it for like family and friends just for fun, or were you actually kind of freelancing and selling them to businesses?
Yeah, no, I was actually just doing it for fun because I didn't even know that that was a job. Like, I didn't know that people were paid at companies to design websites and to design logos. To me, it was just this kind of creative outlet. I did realize that I had a little bit of a different approach, even though I wasn't like classically trained or anything like that. And it was because of my scientific background, I was a little bit more analytical than some of the other creative people that I knew. And so that was something that kind of helped me to see the intersection of business and those creating those graphics and creative elements for businesses. So no, I was just kind of doing it for family members and friends who were like, oh, I'm, you know, creating this book, or hey, I'm starting a new business. And to me, it was just this creative thing that I was doing and didn't really see it as something that was bringing value to them, even though it was.
Absolutely. And once you got to that point where your family and friends were like, hey, you should probably monetize this, what was that process like of actually going ahead and starting it?
Yeah, that is a great question. So once I kind of figured out that, oh, okay, I can do this as a business, I kept it pretty simple. I am someone who likes to, once I've thought about something and I'm ready to make a decision, I just jump in. And so I figured out, I was like, okay, I need a tool that will help me take payments. And my sister was in law school at the time, so she was the one who was like, make sure you have a contract. So I had those two things. And I just hit the ground running. I had a very simple website I put together for myself and started hanging out in Facebook groups where there were other business owners who were asking questions about branding and website design and all these kinds of things, and answering questions and connecting with people, making time to get on calls with other business owners that I knew just to talk shop and hang out. And those kinds of things led to actually getting paying clients. But yeah, I kept it very, very simple when I was first getting started.
One thing that you just mentioned that I absolutely want to highlight, well, actually there's two because I think they're so important. But first and foremost, what you had really just described was you pretty much just made a super simple option for you to start and just went ahead and did it. Because I feel like so many times people feel like they have to try to get things absolutely perfect before they go ahead and launch. But what I was actually just saying to a group of people earlier is that it's never going to be the perfect time to launch. So just have something simple, get going, and you can always figure out the rest from there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my goodness. That is key, especially because if you start to overthink or you get in your own head, you hold yourself back because you won't actually ever take that jump, because there'll always be something new to learn. There'll be a new tool. There'll be a new strategy or whatever that you need to figure out. And that was one of the things that I was grateful that I did, was just kind of jump in, and I had to figure things out, like processes and systems and all sorts of things as I went. But it did help me get those first paying clients and showed me that, oh yeah, this is a viable business that I can actually turn into something much bigger if I want to.
Most definitely. And the second thing that you had mentioned that I thought was so important was just taking the time to connect with people. Because one of my favorite things that I like to say about my business is that I focus on people, not dollar signs. And that is something that so many people should adopt into how they run their businesses. Like, you took the time to find relevant Facebook groups, engage in them, set up calls with other business owners, and just find different ways to support one another and connect with one another. And that's what led your business to growth. I mean, when you invest in people, that can lead to so many opportunities for you. So I'm really glad that you had brought that up, because it's something that can do so much for people when they're just starting out.
Yes. And I think people underestimate that. I love that you say that you focus your business is about people, not dollar signs. I love that so much, because people underestimate how far having relationships can take you in business. To like, being completely transparent, a lot of my business is referrals. And even though I help other businesses with marketing and all sorts of getting them out there, I have spent a lot of time, my form of marketing is relationship marketing. I love that so much. And it's easy for me because I love people and I love getting to know people. And that has carried my business a very, very long way, just building relationships, just to build them, just to get to know people. And in the beginning, I didn't even think I was going to get clients from doing that. I was really just trying to get my feet wet and understand the market and understand how things worked. And it, like, within the first week, I had my first client from doing that. And I was like, oh, wait, this actually works. This actually, I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, that's so important, that will take your business so much further than investing in all sorts of marketing strategies, even though those are very necessary and you need them in your business when you're first getting started. That's 100%. Like the easiest way, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I feel like we're soul sisters with what you just described, because exactly what you said is exactly what I do too. And something that I tell people about all the time. Like I looked at this stat, actually, I compiled it at the start of 2020, but I realized that 76% of my clients in 2019 came from Facebook groups. And It's not from me going in there and promoting my services. Like I can count a handful of times when I have done that. It's actually me going in and trying to network with people, taking those connections offline and outside of the Facebook groups, providing value, sharing tips and advice, talking about lessons I've learned that can help other people. I mean, when you go ahead and implement stuff like that, the results come back tenfold. And exactly as you said, you might not even be looking to get clients from it, but people appreciate that stuff and take notice of it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. And even it's so important to recognize that not every person that you talk to isn't, like you said, not everyone is going to become a client, but just that fact that you built that relationship with them might spur them to, when someone asks them like, oh, do you know anyone who's in social media? Do you know anyone who's, a business coach or whatever the case may be, you come to mind. And I've had tons of experiences like that where people weren't even my own clients, but they recommended me just from seeing me around or having a conversation with me. So it goes beyond just those like calls that you have with people that you set up those calls or those connections with, because it then extends into their network of people that they know and that they're in contact with too. And it's such a great way to build your business.
Yes. Yes, yes. You couldn't have said it more perfectly. But now, one thing that I want to know is that what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young, especially as you're kind of transitioning out of this career that you didn't feel passionate about?
Yeah, that's a really great question. For me, I think it was that I hadn't had all those years in a corporate experience. I did have experience in marketing and sales back when I was like in school, and I had worked in different industries and things like that. So I had a lot of marketing and sales experience. I did take business courses when I was in college just because it was something I was interested in, and I would add those in as elective courses that I liked and took, but I didn't have all of those years of experience. And so that was sometimes a little bit intimidating, especially going into pitch meetings or getting on sales calls with potential clients who have been in their industry for, you know, decades or things like that. And it was a little intimidating for me to get over my own kind of thoughts around how capable I was and being able to provide a really great service that gets them results. So I would say that was one of the biggest parts. That was one of the biggest hurdles I kind of had to go through starting a business young, and having other people kind of underestimate you and think like, oh, well, you're young. Like this might just be something you're trying out for fun. You know, you'll get back into the real world. And I say that with air quotes at some point, like you'll come to your senses, and having, you know, people who mean well and who care and love you say, you know, oh, well, wouldn't you want something more stable, or, you know, not really taking what you're doing seriously until they can kind of start to see some of those results that you're generating. So when you're young, I find that that's like one of the biggest things that gets you tripped up, because I feel like young people generally tend to have a lot of energy and excitement and ideas and all sorts of things to bring to the table. And it's always other people's opinions that kind of trip them up. Or at least for me, that was what I found was the hardest part.
Absolutely. I mean, you're exactly right, because we tend to worry about what people think about us. And then because people are pushing their doubts onto us, then we start to face imposter syndrome and second guess ourselves and things like that. Yeah. So that is definitely a struggle. And then the other one you had mentioned too, of just not having that confidence of going into pitch meetings or having sales calls with people. I mean, I remember I was in the same exact spot. I was like shaking while on the phone with people. And I know that a lot of other people face that struggle. So what do you think really helped you to kind of get past that and build more confidence as you started to meet with potential clients and work on building your business?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. So for me, first things first, I am a scientist at heart. And so I had to really lean into that, that mindset that I learned when I was doing research and working with professors on their research and just getting into all of that kind of that space, they really value failure. And that was not something I was taught growing up, especially in school. In a school setting, you don't learn how to fail and fail well. But in the sciences, it's celebrated if you fail. And they're like, oh, cool, we learned something different. How can we improve this the next time? And I had to really think about each of my interactions, each of my pitch meetings or sales calls as an experiment. And I'm like, this is an experiment. This is what we're going to do. We're going to see how this works. The person's either going to say yes or no. And if they say yes, great. I've learned some things that I can carry into the next meeting. Or if they say no, I can take that and learn what I learned from that and apply that to my next meeting as well. So that was the first thing. I had to get comfortable with that because I knew that not everything was going to go perfectly or smoothly, or I was going to nail everything that I did. So I had to get really comfortable with that mindset. And two, just really working on my own thoughts and how I thought about myself and how, what I said to myself before meetings, and really just being your own cheerleader is so important and really underestimated when you're starting a business or anything, anything, you know, new or different. You have to be the person who believes in yourself more than anyone else, because that really does carry you when you're feeling like, oh, maybe this might not work, or oh, I definitely didn't nail that call at all. And knowing that you're capable of figuring things out, you always have been able to do that, knowing and leaning in to that, like, I am capable of figuring this out, like, that didn't go well, but what can I do better next time? That was number two. And number three, I would say surrounding yourself with other like-minded people who are there to encourage you, support you, you can bounce ideas off of them. I think that was very valuable for me. I joined like masterminds and groups like that very early on in my business, and it was so, so helpful to have a group of people that I could go and say, okay, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. I have all these calls, like, I'm very nervous, and have other people say, like, you got this, you can do this, was also very, very, very valuable. So I would say those three things were some of the most valuable and like biggest things that I did to kind of help me make it through some of those feelings and those thoughts.
Those are all great pieces of advice. And also what I'm sure you found too is that practice makes perfect, as cliche as that mm-hmm. sounds and how overused yes. that phrase is. It's true that like the more you do something, especially as an entrepreneur, the more comfortable you get with it and the more you feel like you know the ins and outs of how to do it correctly. So for anyone who may be listening and feels like they may be worried about how to do something in their business or don't think they're doing something the right way, if you just keep at it, the right process will come to you.
Yes, 1000%. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And that's what, having that, you know, experimental mindset helped me do, was because I knew that in an experiment, you can't do something once. You have to do it multiple times to see what works. And so I'm like, this is part one of the experiment. And like, okay, part one of the experiment failed. What are yes. we doing next time? And the more you do it, the better you get, the more confident you are. You can't think of it as like a one and done. Like you said, you have to do it over and over and over, and you'll be, you know, 100 calls in or whatever, you'll be like, oh, I can do this. I feel really confident going into this call. And that's because you've done it so many times that you've created that process or system that gets you those results all the time.
Absolutely. And on the opposite end of the difficult part of starting your business, what would you say was the most rewarding?
Ooh, I think for me, that has been working with other business owners who are building something for themselves and who are in it to really help other people, and they are changing the way that people think or live or work or play or whatever it is that they're bringing to the world. That has been so rewarding to be able to take these ideas and these visions and thoughts and dreams that people have and actually turning those into a tangible way that they can serve people and also support their families and themselves and their own dreams and goals. I think that's the most rewarding part of my job. And that has just been so exciting to feel like you are a part of these bigger stories and these bigger dreams and goals that people have. It's just very, very exciting and magical.
I love that. That is such a powerful statement and realization to have, to think about how it's almost kind of like a domino effect. Like the work that you're doing with this business owner is pushing down the work that they're going to do for those people, and what those people benefit from that product or service will benefit further people, and so on and so forth. And so I think that's amazing that like you're looking at yourself as one piece of a giant, amazing puzzle.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And if I don't think about it that way, then, you know, all of sometimes the negatives or the roadblocks or the hard seasons can kind of cloud that, and remembering that we're all part of this puzzle where we're bringing our own, like we're showing up in our purpose and able to use our gifts in really amazing ways to help other people that then helps other people, is just a really great way to kind of keep you motivated and excited about going on this very, very tumultuous journey that is entrepreneurship.
Seriously. And I know that you had mentioned earlier in this episode that really being able to network and build relationships with other business owners helped to bring in so many referrals and grow your business in exponential and amazing ways. But outside of that, would you say that there has been anything else that has led to your success?
Oh, that's a good question. I think really creating content that gets people thinking and gets them interested in what it is that you're doing, and also gives them a way to start moving in the direction that they want, has probably been the second biggest way that my business has grown, is really creating thoughtful pieces of content that, yeah, that engage conversation, that get people thinking, and help them to take small steps in the direction that they want. Yeah, that's what I would say would probably be number two of all the things.
Love it. And as marketers, we can both geek out over how important content is. But it's so true. I mean, content is what helps you to resonate with your target audience and therefore get them interested in what you're offering with your products or services.
Yeah. And it's a way, And it's a way that I find helps you get deep into conversations with people in ways that you didn't think possible. Because for me, especially, I struggle with social media because it's just not my like first thing that comes to mind. But I found that I have like the best conversations with people on, you know, like my Instagram platform or in a Facebook group where I posted something thoughtful or whatever the case may be. I find that I have really great conversations with people, and that always gives me ideas, even if it's not like a client. It gives me ideas of how I can improve my service. It gives me ideas of how I can show up better. And yeah, that, I don't know, that's just been really interesting to watch. I didn't think that that would be the case, but content really, content is very, very valuable.
Absolutely. And I mean, exactly as you said, the words that your ideal clients or customers are saying and what you're observing from there can give you so many ideas of how to make yourself and your business better, but then also think about different ways that you can kind of continue to market yourself and create more content. So there's so much to be learned from that. And content is just a powerful way to not only connect with people, but also provide value.
Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. I couldn't have said it better.
When you were starting your business, if there was one thing that you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good one. That is a very good one. I would say document everything. I think that has been, as you grow. I think when I first started, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to take forever to build this business, and I'll be, you know, trudging the trenches for decades to come. And so I was just kind of, I was figuring things out as I went, but I also wasn't documenting what I was figuring out as I went, if that makes sense. And so now it's been a process of going back and, you know, documenting systems, because as you, and you will grow, as you grow and you hire people and you bring people on to help you and support you in building this this business of yours, you now have to share with them all of the things that are in locked up in your brain, and you have to give them the tools and the resources that they need to go and help you in those areas. And I found, and even just for myself, having things documented and having processes and in place where you're like, okay, this is how I do things every single time helps on days where I'm having like an off day and I'm not at the top of my game. And so if I were to go back and tell my younger, more energized self, I'd be like, hey, write everything down and put it in a document somewhere, even if it's not perfect. It's just a very great way to help you move faster in your business and help you to make decisions much more quickly in the future. I found that that's something that I didn't anticipate being, and I'm even surprised that that's my answer for this, but it is.
We seriously are on the same wavelength today, because I was just saying to myself yesterday, actually kicking myself after realizing that because I'm in the process of hiring someone else, I haven't updated my like operations manual in months. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, well, there we go. I have some work to do. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it's such a great point, and I love that you've shared this, because no one else on this podcast has shared that. But it's a great point to keep in mind that you really need to be able to outline everything you do in your business, why you do it, how you do it, and everything of that nature. So that way, when you do grow, you can literally hand this document and be like, here, absorb it. And then let's talk about it if you have any questions, which will be beneficial to whoever you're hiring and also to yourself, because you're saving yourself so much time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. And also I find that, especially if you're building your business in a way that allows it to become an asset for you in the future, and just thinking long-term of, because I know some people want to build their businesses so that they can sell them, things like that, your processes and systems are your intellectual property, especially if you are creating systems and processes that are different. And as you do things, you'll learn like, oh, that's not actually that efficient. Like, we've created the system. And that actually helps you when you go to refine offers and all sorts of things, because I can go back and look and say like, oh, we've actually made this process easier for our clients. We've actually made this more valuable to them. We saved time for them by doing things this way. And it's just a great value add for you when you're going to think through your offers or your pricing structure or whatever, as well as if you are ever interested in selling your business, that's all intellectual property that has to live somewhere for you to show to people so that you can sell your company or have assets or things like that. It's just so valuable. And I think so many people don't talk about that far down the line, that I wish I would have thought about things like that earlier on and documented things much more quickly than I started doing that.
Yeah. And that is an excellent point. I mean, I didn't even think about that, about the fact that what's living in your brain legitimately can be something that you sell. But I mean, now that I think about it, it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars of experience if you've gone to college. It is years of experience if you have built up your business over decades. I mean, all of this stuff that you've learned along the way and paid for can actually be sold. I mean, that is powerful to think about, and a great reminder to all of us that as we get further into our businesses, to really take that time to write everything down and notate what's happening and how we do stuff.
Yeah. It's definitely valuable. And it's because we don't recognize that, because we're in it in the every day and we're like, is this valuable? But when someone comes into your business and they see a way that you do something and they're like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Like, that's really cool. Can you teach that to me? And you're like, oh, wait, this is actually valuable. Like, let me go write this down real quick.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're so tunnel visioned. That's really the way to put it, is that we really have a difficult time stepping away from our work and actually realizing how beneficial and valuable what we do is for other people.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
And why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
I think that starting your business at a young age allows you so much more time to learn, to grow, to innovate. I think that, especially for me, innovation comes from iterating something over and over and over. I think we think that innovation comes from just having done something once and it's like perfect and magical and everyone's like, wow, what an innovative idea. But usually all of these ideas and these things that move the world forward come from doing things over and over, trying something, iterating on that thing that you tried, and then doing it again. And I think starting off younger allows you to really capitalize on that, and allows you to have more time to come up with these great, amazing, innovative ideas that move our world forward. And I think there's just so much value in starting younger, because I feel like you're not filled with all of the notions that society tries to tries to teach us, and you're more willing to take risks and jump in head first and really just experiment and try and see what happens. And I think that is incredibly, incredibly valuable in entrepreneurship, because you're not coming into it with all of these ideas and thoughts and processes and beliefs that you got from a job you worked at for 30 plus years or something like that. You're coming in kind of fresh, and that's always so incredibly valuable when you're creating something and putting it out into the world.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've spoken to a few other people about this same exact question, where it's like almost the ignorance, and not meant in like a negative way, but like the ignorance that you have when you're young actually can help you to do so much more in your business. Because as you just shared, I mean, you have all of these fresh ideas that you wouldn't have even thought about if you were currently like set in your ways, if you had worked somewhere else.
Exactly. And you're more willing to take a chance on those ideas. And I think when you're younger, you're more willing to, if someone is like, oh, well, that sounds dumb, you're like, okay, whatever, I'm still going to do it. And and you're more willing to kind of take a chance on yourself, really. And I think that is just so powerful, especially when you're starting something as daunting as entrepreneurship, exciting and daunting as entrepreneurship. Yes. It's nice to have that kind of spirit behind you to push you forward, you know?
Most definitely. Denae, you have shared such amazing advice for our listeners throughout this episode, but now I'd love to ask you that if there was one last piece of advice you could share for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
Ooh, one last piece of advice. Okay, this is a tough one.
I know, because you've already shared it all.
I think if I'm thinking back, like, I think the most valuable thing I can share is to follow your own path for yourself. And I know when we're younger and we start businesses, especially those of us who start businesses when we're younger, we can always be inundated with so much noise from other people and what other people want from us, especially after college. You know, there's always these like, oh, well, you have to go do this, or you have to do these next few steps and then you're going to be all set for life kind of thing. I think just following your own intuition, listening to yourself, and knowing what you want out of your life is so, so valuable. It allows you to kind of walk your own path and make your own path, which is what we're all kind of trying to do, and allows you to really shine in the ways that you are meant to shine. And so trusting yourself, listening to yourself, and really going after that dream that you have for your own life, and not being deterred by what other people might say. I know it's hard. That's so hard. I'm still learning how to do that. But I think that is probably the number one thing that if I could go back to younger me and be like, hey, here's a piece of advice, that would be it. I think it would have helped take me over some hurdles a lot more easier than I jumped over them.
I love it. And especially too, I mean, a lot of times when we're just starting out with businesses, we try to find ways to model what we're doing after what successful people are doing. And it's like, what's working for them isn't always going to work for you. So your exact advice of just being able to follow your own path that's meant for you is huge for bringing you to where you're meant to be.
Yes, exactly. And I can't leave without saying this. One other thing, don't be afraid of the work. Don't be afraid to like put your head down and learn what you need to learn, knowing that like I love learning. And so for me, remembering that I still have a long ways to go, because I think once you are like your mid-20s, you feel like you should have like life figured out, and we don't. And there's a long way to go. We forget that. We're like, the end of the world is coming near. We're almost like, especially once you get closer to like 30 and you're like, oh my gosh, is this the end? And it's not. We have so much more to go. I think just willing to be open to learning and staying open to that, and willing to sometimes go and figure out things that you don't know and coming back. There's no failure in that. And I think it's super valuable when you're able to do that. And it just puts you in a better position to take opportunities that come towards you if you're willing to kind of stay open to what you don't know and learn as you go.
Absolutely, because we can't be expected to know everything at once. So yeah. As long as we just keep putting in the work and be open to learning, that is huge.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, it definitely is.
Love it. Danae, this has been like honestly such a fantastic episode. And now I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further after listening.
Yeah, of course. So you guys can find me on my website at theasmaraagency.com. And I am usually hanging out on Instagram at DanaiteBG. So that's my name, DanaiteBG. On Instagram, and I would love to connect with you and chat and and just hang out on on the interwebs.
Love it. And I'll make sure to put all of those show notes in those links in the show notes. That way, in case people missed it, they can click through from there. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an awesome conversation.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.